Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to State of Jefferson this morning. Sorry, my brain just faded for a moment, having a senior moment. Terry is out on patrol, we'll call it that, patrol in California. We're working on all kinds of stuff behind the scenes, and Terry's been busy doing exactly that. So he will be back next week, hopefully. And so I'm flying solo today, with the exception of two special guests that are here. I have Patty Smith. Good morning, Patty. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Wynn?
I'm doing well. And Mike Smith. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Hi, Wynn.
Good, good. Hey, that song that just introed a moment ago, do you know anything about that one?
Well, I wrote it. I wrote it for us.
For Jefferson.
For our movement. And it belongs to, I just give it away. You guys cut it to pieces, use clips.
Yep.
Anything anybody wants to do, it belongs to the State of Jefferson.
Well, we thank you for that. You're a true patriot for putting that together, and it sounds really good.
You're welcome.
Thank you for doing that. That was done quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're going back a few years.
I've always enjoyed the mix
on
the song.
All right, good. So. There you go. See? Musician to musician. There you go.
Yeah.
Liam likes to keep us up and going, so he's going to keep us out of trouble.
I will.
Hand over the buzzer, right?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. All right. So... You guys are with what? What are you guys here to talk about today? Let's kind of get everybody up to speed on what's going on.
We are with Election Integrity Project California.
Okay.
And there have been a few slams on us that we would like to come in here and tell the people what we are doing and what we have accomplished.
Let me give you an idea.
Okay.
Our motto is every lawfully cast vote is accurately counted. That's what we want. Over the years, and there's been 13 of them, we have trained 20,000 observers in 43 out of 58 California counties. And that's
huge.
That is huge. And we are very dedicated. In all of our 13 years, not a single person with the IPCA has been paid, and they never will be. This is all from the heart. It's all our passion to save our republic, because we believe that the vote is how we the people are able to keep a republic. And we are a nonprofit 501c3 public benefit organization. All the contributions are tax deductible to the extent permitted by law. All your contributions go towards supporting the work and are very much appreciated.
Where does somebody, if somebody wants to contribute, where would they mail a check? Do you guys have that?
Oh, boy, I don't have that. But the website
that works.
EIP-PA.com, and there is a donate button there.
Okay.
And we have...
is there an address on there, too, a physical address for mailing?
I do believe there is.
So they
contact us and...
So they could send a check to that location?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Just want to let the listeners know, because a lot of people still write checks versus doing electronic money transfers, which I get, and they feel more secure, which they are. So they're going to send a check and make that happen. So they can send it to... They can go to the website of EIP... ASP-CA.com and look for the donate button if they choose to do that, and or whatever the address is listed on that website.
Yes, okay. And let me just point out the EIP-CA on the website and the email is the only place that there is a hyphen or a dash in the name. Otherwise, it's uppercase EIPC, lowercase A. And we used to be just EIP, but then there became some issues with everybody using parts of our trademarked name.
Gotcha.
So we became EIPCA.
Okay.
And we ended up having some contributions that were meant for us that went to other places.
Gotcha.
So here we are.
There you go. All right. So what are we gonna talk about here? I mean, we're gonna do some. We're gonna play something a little in a moment. But what are you trying to get the word out about?
Okay. We have an audio of Carl DeMaio, and he is pretty much bashing us and misrepresenting our dedicated organization. We strongly suspect that EIPECA is and has been under attack from different microphones and sources, and really that's not surprising since, as you're about to find out, we are directly over the target.
That's when they come out of the woodwork.
That is, it's amazing. Yeah,
no matter what the target is, anywhere, you get over the target, then all of a sudden, wow, boom, you get slandered and all kinds of ugly things happen.
Well, in this case, they've been fairly successful because our contributions have declined noticeably. And this is quite concerning because right now we're in the... As you'll find out soon enough, we're really over the target. We're going to have a major win here, and we're doing really good. But we are right now we're plaintiffs with our attorneys are advocates for faith and freedom, and they have been picking up the bill for a lot of the hours. You know, the lawyer work, all that intense work that happens. But we are still on the hook for all the court costs.
Right.
And if Faith and Freedom happen to run out of money, well, then we're on the hook there, too. So we really need to keep the contributions coming in. To have somebody attacking us and literally affect that piece is really, really concerning.
It's really sad when the people of the state have to fight to get their votes to count and to be accurately tabulated and to have no shenanigans in it, have to spend their hard-earned money that they're already taxed on to get this to fight in court, and then you're fighting the court system that you're already paying taxes for that is fighting you. So you're paying, it's like double, triple down. Yeah. It's awful.
Yep. Whammy, whammy, whammy.
Every time you fight the government, it's like that.
Yep. And, you know, I think our president mortgaged your home to start this whole thing. The
your
money.
President of the organization? The
president of EIPCA.
Wow.
It's all been on a shoestring, and we've really, once you folks get to the website, you'll realize this is a most phenomenal website. The amount of information, if you want to learn what is happening in California, go to EIP-CA and look out.
.com.
Yeah. You're gonna be just deluged with information. You'll be an expert by the time you even get through the first page.
Okay. Well, did you want to?
Yes, I do want to clarify that when you click on the donate button on the front page, the address is listed where they can mail a check.
Perfect. There you go. All right. So are you ready to go into the audio?
Absolutely. Let's hear Carl.
Okay. This audio we're going to listen to right now is kind of hard to hear, so you're going to have to really listen actively. And Liam might have to turn it up just a little bit just so that we can hear everything in the audio. Go ahead.
I need to vote early. Ruth Weiss, well-intentioned, but I have not seen that group move the needle at all. I've seen that group actually undermine the Republican vote because they told everyone last election, go on election day.
Right.
Well, you know, Democrats aren't stupid. These people are clever little con artists.
Yeah.
You know what they did? They reduced the number of polling stations by 80%.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Yeah. They have the polling that shows that Republicans don't trust mail-in ballots. They don't trust mail the box drops. They want to go on election day. So what did Democrats do? They said, clever. We're going to suppress the Republican vote by cutting 80% of polling stations. And we have groups like Roots that were foolish enough to go and play into their hands. So, you know, I'm just simply saying it right now. We've reached out to them. We've briefed them. We no longer even bother picking up the phone because they literally can't find their way out of a paper bag. That's how bad they are. Again, I'm going to be very blunt. They have been corrosive and destructive to the movement for election integrity because they're off here getting you all distracted on one thing. And let me tell you how Democrats are stealing elections in California. Go online to thetransparencyfoundation.org. Click under the report that was released. 10-point audit of California's 2022 election. California failed 9 out of 10 of the audit criteria. And in that report, you will find all of these problems laid out. How are Democrats stealing elections? Number one, they are getting every Juan, Dick, and Harry registered to vote through voter-voter. Voter-voter is about getting everyone on the voter roll and creating a ballot right for everybody. They also, under motor voter, prohibit the updating of the voter registration rolls. So we've had more than 4 million Californians move out of California since 2016, and California regulations prohibit the registrar from moving that person. So in the last election, 10%, 9.6% to be precise, of California households got an erroneous ballot. For someone who no longer lives there, someone who moved away long ago, someone who no one knows who the hell this person is. If you want to see something really scary, go to an apartment building on election. And when the ballots are delivered, and you will find a stack of orphan ballots down by the mailboxes. If you want to know the truth about the orphan ballot problem in California, stop your postal clerk when they're delivering your mail that first week of the election and say, how many orphan ballots, how many, you know, this person doesn't live there, do you have? And all of these postal clerks will tell you, I'm not allowed to publicly state this or take a picture. I'm not allowed to reveal this, but I got a whole bin of ballots in my car. And this is a scam. Wait, that's just on the first step. I said those four steps that they're using to steal elections. Second step, they take an old list and they mail out ballots to everybody, whether they want them or not, whether they ask for them or not. Third, they legalize ballot harvesting.
Yeah.
Why do you have orphan ballots? So a harvester can scoop them up like a Hoover vacuum machine. And fourth, they're not checking signatures. They're processing everything.
And I have watched how they process the signature.
But let me say, I don't want you standing there watching, because when you're an election monitor, this is what really gets everyone. Become an election monitor. Correct me if I'm wrong. The ballot is counted right over there at the Taco Bell window. That's how far away it is. And you're standing over there like that potted plant about as useful as that. You're not allowed. You're like, what are they doing? I have something better, and we did it last election.
Thank you.
We ask people to take a job at the registrar's office. Do you know that they're like Macy's? They hire seasonal workers during the election. And you know what the Democrats have done for the last 4 or 5 cycles? They have pulled up in white vans on hiring day, and they are activists jump out with BLM shirts on saying, I want to take the job to open up the ballots. And the ROV staff stands there and they're like, well, this isn't a very good idea. This is not a very good idea to hire, but we have no one else to take the job, so I guess we should hire them. So in the primary last year, we started this effort. And in the general, we got it up in full in San Diego and in Orange County. Those are two pilot counties. And in this report, you're going to read about this. This is a major success. We went out and asked you, would you be willing to take a paid job to open up ballots and check signatures? People were like, wait, you're paying us? How can you pay us to do that? I'm like, no, we're not paying you. The county is going to pay you to open up ballots and check signatures. Really? How do I get that job? Well, we're going to coordinate your application. We're going to fill out the paperwork and make sure you got an opportunity to get a job. We got over 100 people hired in those two counties. Now, let me give you the results. Wait till you hear this. between the primary and the general in those two counties, we tripled the percentage of ballots, not the number of ballots, the percentage, because the number of ballots went even higher than that. We tripled the percentage of ballots that were rejected for a bad signature. Why? Because we had common sense conservatives sitting there saying, I'm not going to just let everything through. I'm going to do my job.
Right.
We also counseled these people on whistleblower protection. We let them know that as a county employee, as an hourly wage, they have a right as a whistleblower to complain to the auditor, to complain to a manager, and they cannot be terminated, they cannot be disciplined. Or there's a whistleblower statute that protects them for a lawsuit. As soon as the ROV found out that this is the program, they said, okay, we're going to reject this signature, you're right. And guess what? 54% of signatures rejected did not have the voter claim that signature, which means repeated attempts to say, hey, we rejected your signature, you need to verify. That person never verified. Now, don't you think that's a little suspicious?
Yeah.
So you know what we did? We got those two lists from Orange County and San Diego, and we had our investigators call, and they called, and they called, and they showed up on their doorstep, they knocked on the door, they sent letters, and we got back responses from a statistician said, this is a perfectly good sample size, from over 500 people, and 14.7% confirmed, I don't vote in California. That's not my signature. I don't know who submitted my ballot. Only 8% confirmed they voted, and the rest, we never heard back from. I guarantee you the rest don't exist. So let me just say here, voter fraud is real. And the only way for us to crack down on it is voter ID. And the only way for us to survive between now and voter ID is to do this program that we put together. I don't want you to monitor.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to open the ballot.
Yeah.
I want you to look at the signature. I don't want you sitting over there like the potted plant like Ruth wants you to, Linda wants you to. I want you to be at the checking stand over there processing those ballots. And when a BLM member says, I think that's a perfectly fine signature, I say, well, you know what? The rule states that if I object, it has to be reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And they are livid on the left about the fact that people...
Awesome.
Yeah.
That one goes in the box. That one goes in the checkbox. So look, we're not going to be able to stop their scam 100%, but we're going to be able to minimize and make it really damn hard. And so voting early, why do I want you to vote early? I don't want the long lines on election day, and that's what we saw, because all of you clogged up the lines. And secondly, I want you to vote in the first 72 hours of the election so that you can verify that your ballot was actually counted. I don't want anyone to get disenfranchised. If you wait till election day, chances are your signature may get rejected, or the ballot may get lost, or God knows what. If you vote early, you won't have to worry about that. And that's why I want you to secure your own vote before you help us secure the other votes. Secure your own vote for 72 hours before you secure your own vote, the other votes. Final point on the voting early, people say, but Carl, I want to be a voting ninja. I want to surprise them. I want to show up. Boom, I'm voting. That's why we have to flood them on the last day.
No.
You do know that your voting record is a matter of public record. You do know that the Democrats know that everyone in this room is going to vote no matter what. If it were Christmas and the election were called, you would first go to vote and then go home to say hi to baby Jesus. Okay. I will guarantee you that you know that you are voting. There is no surprise about it. So get your vote in, and then what I want you to do is shock them by dragging your grandkids in on election day to vote provisionally or whatever way. I want you to turn out the unexpected voter, because that's what's going to tip the scale of these elections. A turnout model that they were not expecting because you hustled and got them out there. Make sense?
Yeah.
And if Ruth and the rest of them want to join up, we're going to welcome them. But we deal in fact, not conspiracy theory. We get the receipts before we go out and tell people this is what we need to do.
All right. Well, thank you, Leah, for playing that. So... Well, there's a lot of information to unpack there.
Yeah, and I'm not going to unpack it. There's so much to refute and discuss, but I know we basically want to know, why is Carl attacking EIPCA? You know, we've proven ourselves by working tirelessly for 13 years, no pay, documenting the weaknesses in the election process that have truly made it possible to manipulate the election process. We want to know why Carl won't tell the truth about EIPCA's accomplishments. And so if you would allow me, I'd like to run through the years pretty quick and
sure.
concise.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, this we started in 2010, and we went first to the ROVs. We got a lot of information right off the bat in the first couple of years, you know, so we reached out to the ROVs. From there, we reached out to the Secretary of State and, you know, really didn't get anywhere. But so in 2015, EIPCA qualified for a civil rights hearing based on our documented evidence, and it was reviewed by the California Committee for the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. The hearing was held, and the report from the regional commissioner was so damning that it was redacted and buried. And there's a lot more to say about that, but I'm going to move on to 2017, where EIPCA, we retained Judicial Watch. A lot of you guys might remember this case. And they filed a lawsuit regarding our documentation of the massively bloated voter rolls, and that was due to the mismanagement of the statewide voter rolls. Okay, so the result of that was that EIPCA won a settlement agreement, and that agreement resulted in L.A. County removing 1.2 to 1.5 million inactive names on the voter rolls for 4 years in a row.
That, so each year they were removing a million?
Yes, 1.2 million to 1.5 million. No, we literally, and if you want
that's almost 5 million in a 4 year period that they're removing.
And how did that happen, you may ask? If I was listening to this, I would ask too. But the settlement agreement, it made them do this. They agreed to and had to do, like, okay.
Did they follow up with proof that they had done it?
They did. That was part of the judge said that they had to follow up and tell Judicial Watch and tell Election Integrity Project California. Prove to us they did it.
Okay.
And so they did all the way up to Weber. And we don't know yet. We're hoping that she's following through, but we really, I can't tell
yeah,
you.
Who's Weber?
Secretary of State.
Weber. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we moved on to a different Secretary
right.
of State.
Right.
And, so, okay, so that was pretty big. And, I don't know. Anyways, then, so go on to 2020. A lot of you know about Landmark Legal Foundation. That's, I think Mark Levin is, he's on that. That's part of him. But Landmark Legal and EIPCA filed an amicus brief, and they used our evidence, and it went to the United States Supreme Court on behalf of Arizona's case regarding not allowing ballot harvesting. And the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of Arizona. That was due to the evidence that we provided in the brief. And that brief is filed with the Congressional Digest. So
it stood in Arizona, but it's not standing in California?
It's filed. A piece of information that's filed in the Congressional Digest can be used.
To be used
Yeah.
later. Gotcha.
So it's there.
Okay.
And just the fact that it was a win.
That's huge.
Yeah. So that was big. And so we moved into 2020. Where we filed legal action against Ventura County ROV, the Register of Voters, for violation of our California observer laws. That case went to court in 2023. It was in court for 5 days. The judge ruled that observing only means, and I quote, to see that some activity is taking place. Okay, so...
so some activity is taking place,
right.
is what they're calling observing.
Yes, yes. So you can
wow.
stand
you
on the sidewalk
papers.
And see people are in there working, you know.
Shuffling
okay.
papers.
Shuffling papers.
Wow.
So, it's not over. We're still in court challenging the prevention of citizens to lawfully observe the entire election process. There is an appeal in the District 2nd California State Court. From EIPCA.
Well, okay, on one of the things that he mentioned, he said 9 out of 10 criteria failed in California. So what is he talking about there?
I really don't know. I'm not sure about that.
There's so many things. I mean, you could throw a dart and take your pick.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we have stacks and stacks of paper. There's unlimited information on the website that you can go to, and it is unreal the amount of things that this state has done to us.
Okay, so so he was just throwing that out there, saying 90% of the stuff that's going on fails.
Well, and which set of nine is he talking about?
Right,
you know,
right. Where is he
knows?
Going with this?
Right,
yeah. Okay.
Because there's too many issues.
Right,
you know, new laws.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
New laws up the yin yang, and okay, right. So let's not do a law. Let's just implement some regulations.
There you go. Don't we love this? Yeah. All right, well, let's go off to our break, and we'll be back in a minute, and we'll resume our conversation here.
Enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen, everyday buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak. The savory tri-tip benedict. The hot honey crispy chicken. The colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
Mark your calendars and buckle up for the Cadillac CT5 giveaway at Wind River Resort and Casino. Play any of our exciting table games with your River Club card to earn entries. Weekly drawings every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. starting October 6th. All weekly drawing winners receive $200 in chips. Entries multiply as the weeks go on. Join us for the final drawing at 10 p.m. on Saturday, December 23rd for your chance to drive away in the car of your dreams. For details, go to windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Lauk's Landscape Supply at 6023 Churn Creek Road offers a wide variety of products for all areas of your yard or landscape. Whether it's bark or soils, gravel, a retaining wall, Eucart concrete, sod, pond supplies, erosion control, and much more. You'll find it at Lauk's Landscape Supply, a proud sponsor of Operation Holiday Salute, to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces this holiday season. Lauk's Landscape Supply, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. How my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
Thanks, Liam. So, Mike, can you do the monster mash?
I'd rather not, please.
All right. Hey, a quick question. An orphan ballot was mentioned.
Yes.
I'd never heard that term before.
Okay.
So what is that?
That is when, if there are two pages of a ballot, mm-hmm. and maybe a mail-in voter just sends in one because they only voted on one, well, then they put that aside because it's missing a page. So it's an orphan.
Oh.
Or, you know, if they somehow become separated during the counting process, they are put aside because they are an orphan ballot, and then they try to find the other page.
Oh, so that's the danger of having multiple pages on ballots as well. Ah, okay, I get it.
Yes.
Okay, we've got a caller. Hey, Dick, good morning, Dick. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. Hey, Mike and Patty, nice to see you guys.
Hi, Dick.
I've been to your classes before, and I know, Mike, every time I see him playing in public with a guitar, I always toss him a $5 bill.
Well, originally it was a $1 bill, and you moved up.
You know, I have a question for you. You know, in Shasta County, under the leadership of our chairman, Pastor Jones, We've got rid of those Dominion machines now. What is the Hema County doing about that? And what's your feeling about dumping those machines? And have you made an effort to try to do the same thing that Shasta County's done?
We're just a little behind the curve on you guys in Shasta. And by the way, we are really proud of Shasta County because thing you got to do, which you did, is get your board rearranged. You know, get the folks in there that actually give a hoot about what's going on. So in this last election, we did remove two supervisors and put in two more. And it is really a matter of getting the board on board.
You know, in California, every possible method of cheating is in place in California. And it was in place in Shasta County also. In our lovely, what I call her, the darling of Shasta County, you know, she's in favor of all that method of cheating.
Yes, well, I
can't argue that.
Well, Dick, and if you were paying attention, and I'm sure you were, once Shasta County was successful in that, then our legislatures just jumped right on board and made a law prohibiting that other states do that.
The counties?
And counties, yeah.
Yeah, so, I know that.
Yeah, they slammed the lid down on that real fast.
Yeah, you know, they want to keep every method of cheating. They want to keep it in place, especially like early voting and drop boxes with a completely unmonitored drop boxes that people can just load them up with all kinds of illegal ballots, and they want to keep that in place.
Well, you're right, Dick. California hasn't passed a law prohibiting bad harvesting, and that's why it's impacted California so much, and that isn't monitored, you know, so.
You know, I have some advice for any person who knows somebody who has a terminal illness and is going to die pretty quick. You need to have them re-register if they're a Republican, re-register as a Democrat, because there's two reasons why you want to die as a Democrat. Number one, if anybody has to go, we want it to be one of them. And number two, if you die as a Democrat, you can still vote in every election.
Okay, Dick.
We're nonpartisan.
We are nonpartisan. And, thank you, Dick.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Dick. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I want to point out that we observe with the purpose of correcting an issue when it happens, documenting the issue and turning it into an instant report that we use in our lawsuits, and it is signed under penalty of perjury, so it becomes an affidavit for the court.
Yes.
There you go. Wow. Now, I get where, you know, this audio that we listened to, he's talking about 54% of the signatures were rejected, and that goes along with how do they do that? I mean, you're trying to justify, I mean, I'm assuming you're looking at a screen where a photograph or an image of, say, somebody's signature is on there, and you're comparing it to the envelope that's sitting there in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where signatures change over time with age.
They do.
And they allow
with
for
health
that.
Issues, with all kinds of things going on. If you're in a hurry, you know, all those things. Trying to remember how you actually signed it. Did you use your full name? Did you use your first, middle, initial, last name? I mean, did you abbreviate it? Things change. So how do they truly justify that things are either good or need to be rejected? I don't understand how that works. I'm
not sure right now if it's a three-point clarification or something.
It used to be three-point.
We
think they've loosened that up quite a bit, maybe one point. But, you know, Carl's right. It counts on who's sitting in that chair.
Right.
And then it counts.
Their interpretation.
Yes, absolutely. But then in some counties, the ones that are really bad actors, they won't let you sit there and see, you know, compare. They try to back you against the wall.
And he does not have documented evidence of that. But we can tell you that things have loosened up because they're saying, well, the person might have been in a hurry. So their signature was done real quickly, so it doesn't match the one on file.
Right.
Okay, and so another point is a lot of the documentation that they pull up, the record that they use to compare, mm-hmm. is your DMV signature. Well,
oh, okay.
Okay, so you're signing on a little electronic pad. Well, who signs that like you would sign a check?
So
nobody.
So they're using all of our DMV signatures versus our signature with the ROV?
Whatever they have on file, yeah. The majority of it is the DMV file.
In Tehama County, they pull up a list. It's on. They pull up a list of signatures that they have.
Okay.
So they can look the.
You might have two or three signatures on file for you,
right?
And then whatever they have in front of them, they're going to compare and see if it comes in line with any one of the three or a combination of those three.
Yes.
Okay. But if it's a young person that's maybe 18, 19,
yeah.
they're probably their only signature on file is DMV.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I would like to say I'm really proud of my county. I appreciate our registered voters, and I've done signature verification.
And again, you're Tehama County.
Tehama County.
Okay.
And when that process is happening, she's got a schedule. She lets us know it's going to happen now at this hour, da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in there. Well, she pulls up a chair right next to the verifier for me. And I sit like I'm sitting next to Patty right now,
yep.
and we're both looking exactly the same distance.
Right.
And they do a good job, you know, in our county. Well, if the county's not that great, then you might have some shenanigans. L.A. County, you know, you might have shenanigans going on. It depends on who's sitting in that chair.
Right, right.
You know, and then if the ROV won't let you observe except for back behind the wall, you know, and we have some awesome counties in California that
really do
a good job.
They called it the Bat Cave, where they had a room with large windows, kind of like mm-hmm. the studio, and people had to be outside the room standing
right.
behind the glass
yeah.
mm-hmm.
watching.
Right.
And even at an angle sometimes. So how do you see that? You can't even see it.
Well, some of them, they give you big monitors to watch and told you to stand back here and you can,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. And, of course, COVID started that.
Of course it did.
And everything's still in place from
That's right.
COVID.
From COVID. All right, we have another caller on the line. Good morning, Dolores. How are you?
Good morning. I have a question. I think I heard you say something that when you file your lawsuits, what do you mean? Are you an attorney, or are you just file your own lawsuits against the third county?
You're hard to hear. You faded out there, Dolores. Can you say it again?
Okay. I want to know if she's an attorney when she said that when they file their lawsuits. So before I even ask the question, I need to know if she's an attorney.
We have retained, well, Judicial Watch. We retained Judicial Watch. They have their attorneys.
Okay.
We've retained Advocates for Faith and Freedom. It's a citizen organization, and they have attorneys. We have an awesome attorney, but no, we don't file. You know, EIPCA doesn't send filings in. We have
do it through attorneys.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Because here's my question. Because there's plenty of evidence that the election department, Kathy Darling, had actually tampered with evidence and also interfered with a criminal case while she was actually a witness, but also she was subpoenaed because she did something in the election department.
Mm-hmm.
Which it was criminal, and she obstruction of justice when she did interfere in the middle of a criminal case. So is that something you guys look into? Because I also know that she used the public funds for public gain.
We have a spot on our website that you can go to, and I'm not sure what the tab is on the homepage. Over to the right, there's a take action, and you can go in there and you can file a witness statement. That would be the thing for you to do. And then it will stay on the website where to mail it to.
Okay.
Okay.
And there's also citizen observation papers on there, too, that people can download and go be a citizen observer.
Oh, wow.
But anybody that sees something that they know is not right, or if they're not allowed to vote, you know, and they feel like they're disenfranchised, absolutely go on there, you know, download a witness statement, fill it out.
Excuse me, it's called a citizen incident statement.
Okay.
Okay. And Ventura County lawsuit, that's all about challenging registers who don't follow the law to allow citizens to observe.
That's exactly what I need. I need some, you know, that information so I could do my part
Thank you.
Well, Dolores, go to EIP-CA.com and check out their website. It's got a lot of information on it. I was perusing it here early after they mentioned it. And so you can probably find pretty much whatever you're going to want to fill out, file, what have you, that's on there. And they're probably very thorough and probably as good as you're going to get. So I would assume...
Okay.
Just check that out to see what they have.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dolores.
Thank you for calling.
If I may carry on with our accomplishments in 2021, and this is most exciting to me, all that's happened since 2021, EIPCA filed a lawsuit through Advocates for Faith and Freedom. That's a citizen organization. And we filed against the California Secretary of State Weber, the Attorney General Bonta, and 15 California County Register voters in federal court. So this has been ongoing for a while. Here's the first thing that happened. The judge dismissed our case. They claimed that we did not have standing. And, of course, we filed our appeal with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And then in 2022, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that EIPCA has strong standing.
Surprise.
And then they sent us back to the judge who tried to dismiss the case.
Who is the judge?
Now we have a three-judge panel.
Was it a three-judge panel?
Pardon me?
Was it three judges initially that dismissed it?
No.
Single judge.
Yes, it says the judge.
The judge. Now who was the judge? Do we know?
I don't. Well, actually, yes. His name is...
Barat.
It's Barat. The Honorable Judge Barat.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And so...
We like to name names.
Yeah. Well, the three-judge panel deal is big to me because I know with State of Jefferson, California representation case, we wanted that three-judge panel.
Yep.
And for the judge, Mueller.
Yep.
she did the right thing on the first day, did she not? You know, I mean, she said, okay, three-judge panel.
Yep.
And then overnight, miraculously, she flipped the table on us and, oh, no, you don't get a three-judge panel.
Overnight and then 5 years later.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and then drug us out for 3 years.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, crazy.
You know, and all kinds of dirty tricks happened through that.
Yep.
So, and then finally kicked us out, and it was over for the moment. It's not over for SOJ, though. That's right. Okay, thank you.
We have a three-judge panel in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Thank you. Just a little comment on that. You know, that circuit court has changed over recent years. And so now one of those judges is a Bill Clinton appointee who happens to be very into the civil rights. She's a civil rights attorney, and it kind of fits her bill.
Mm-hmm.
And she hasn't been, you know, it's not bad. So, and then we have a Bush appointee, and I cannot name names on this one. I don't know. But the Bush appointee's there, and the third one is a Trump appointee.
Okay.
So things are looking up with the Ninth Circuit Court, and I'm enthused about the whole thing.
Okay.
So they gave us strong standing from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal and sent us back to the same judge, Barat, and the defendants again tried to get the case dismissed, and the judge dismissed the case, claiming... Election Integrity Project California's evidence was garden variety, which means frivolous. Well, for a fact, EIPCA has over 10,000 affidavits signed under the penalty of perjury from 43 out of 58 counties.
So election integrity is frivolous.
Evidently.
If you cut it down.
Our evidence.
And the evidence is frivolous. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
But this is the way it goes. And so we went ahead and EIPCA immediately filed an appeal with the Ninth Circuit Court again. And the Ninth Circuit Court accepted our appeal. And as they knew that the case was incorrectly dismissed. This is another case, you know, the Mark Baird case. Mm-hmm. It's where the
2A case, yep.
They're actually slapping these judges a little bit, you know, and telling them, no, you need to, you know, follow.
Do your job.
Do your job.
So
after the Ninth Circuit accepted our appeal, 1 week later, EIPCA filed a request for the Ninth Circuit to expedite the hearing process. Now, this is mind-blowing, but within 2 weeks when the Ninth Circuit agrees EIPCA's request and laid out a schedule that cannot be changed so that oral arguments will take place in early 2024. Dude, this is not over. EIPCA, we're still in court challenging California's unconstitutional election laws, regulations, policies, and procedures. And I would like to ask, we would like to ask, what has Carl accomplished? You know, can Carl come close to what EIPCA has accomplished and is still accomplishing? So again, I am going to ask the question, why won't Carl tell the truth about EIPCA's accomplishments? You know, we're dedicated to fight this battle until the integrity is restored to the election process and only valid elections are certified. EIPCA, we're going to take this. We will take it, this constitutional challenge to the United States Supreme Court to set precedents that legislators cannot use their position to forcibly transform the republic into a socialist oligarchy, which is what is happening. So the fight's got to go on, you guys. We need you. We need your support.
When you say early 24, mm-hmm. what are we looking at? Did they give you a date yet?
Just early.
We have from what I understand, we have a set of steps we're going to take. There's a hearing in this month, next month, and next month, mm-hmm. and we're looking at January. We're looking at early, January, February, maybe March. They don't, the state, the attorney general, the secretary of state, the 15 counties, they want this thing drug out. And they tried to keep us, you know, mm-hmm. keep us drug out.
But so with this going early, how's it going to affect the election, which we are early primary because it's the presidential election. So we're early primary in March. Ballots go out in February or latter part of January even. So right. What are we looking at? How's that going to affect the election?
It depends on the decision that we get out of the courts.
Okay.
So,
okay, we've got a caller. Let's go to the caller real quick. Good morning, Stones. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. Quick question and a quick comment. I missed the first 5 minutes. So is the EIPCA going to get involved in maybe assisting with an injunction on AB 969? And then my comment is I'm trying to get a push to separate our countywide races onto a separate paper ballot in a separate envelope, which I don't think that's happening anywhere in the country. But I'm just wondering if they had a quick opinion on that. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, wait. Could you tell us what AB 69 is? Because, I mean, there's so many things here.
AB
969, that prohibits hand counts with elections over 1,000 voters.
Okay. Let's see. We can't audit the 15 counties, but we can start discovery by asking for documents. We can begin an audit for the 15 counties after the primary is certified. Excuse me. We don't have the bandwidth to take on any additional lawsuits, meaning funding. And I'm not sure how to answer that. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I think it's back to your board of supervisors to fight it there. You know, once again, you can use. We really can't take on any new cases, but we would like witness statements, and you can get there through the website.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's an option. Just put the witness statements in and
use them
and add them where you need to.
Right, but okay. Yeah, we can't add to our lawsuit.
Your workload's huge.
It is
unbelievably huge. You know, we have so many people involved, and Ruth and Linda spend so many hours.
Right.
I don't know how they breathe. You know?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But, you know, one last plug for donations, you know.
Absolutely. You can make your checks out to EIP-CA Incorporated or just EIP-CA. And if you want to mail them, you can mail them to 27943 SECO, S-E-C-O, Canyon Road, number 521, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. So that's the physical location where you can send information and or checks, what have you.
And if you would please note that it is for the Faith and Freedom case.
Oh, for the Faith and Freedom case?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so put that in the memo on your check, Faith and Freedom. So that way it gets earmarked to the proper account and everything's accounted for properly. Thank you, Patty, for saying that.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, too, when he's talking about voting early, because like a lot of us, you know, we're thinking, okay, well, we're just going to wait until the last minute and do the mm-hmm. ninja vote, right? I get and understand what he was saying about that. It's like,
right.
No, you want to get it in there sooner. But then also by getting it in there sooner tells the ROV how many more they're going to have to fabricate to offset the balance, right?
When this is our hard line on it, it is vote in person, please. That's our way. It's always been our way. We want EIPCA wants you to vote in person.
Yep.
We do not want you to harvest ballots. I mean, why jump into the corruption with them? We do want you to harvest voters. You know, get your sons, daughters, grandkids, and
neighbors.
You know, yep. Do it that way. You know,
yep.
go do it legitimately. We're honorable people, and we're not going to go out and play the dirty game. So vote in person. Don't harvest ballots. Do harvest voters.
Yeah.
That is our bottom line
the
on it.
The safest way to vote is to be able to use a ballot that does not go into an envelope.
Yes.
Yes.
They're floating around all over the place, U.S. Post Office, and, you know, there's so much information, but they have created, with their rules, procedures, regulations, they have created millions of ballots that just go floating everywhere, every time. And the bad actors, they can take advantage of this.
Well, how do they account for the ballots? None of the ballots that I've used in the past few elections have any identifying marks on them. There's no numbers on them like they used to be. You used to have a perforated tab on them, either top or bottom, that you could pull off and indicated that your number on that tab matched the number on your ballot. So you knew when you went through the process that your number, well, you're assuming that it got counted for. You could go online after that fact
and find out
if it was your ballot was counted.
Yes.
You don't have that anymore.
Well, supposedly there are some barcodes because it was on the ARF and
they were identical because
yeah.
We took image discretion with it, and we compared several different ballots from several different people, and guess what? They were identical.
Well, but they're supposed to be county-specific, I believe. But on the article that I read,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, about the orphan ballots,
right.
Was talking about going through stacks of 60,000 ballots, but they're trying to find them by scanning codes. Well, you know, but what Carl is not understanding, that the problem is that all of the votes by mail... The vote-by-mail ballots have to be processed, and it's the processing where ballots can be changed or thrown away. We document that ballot harvesting takes advantage of vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
You know, and even going back to the signature verification, you know, well, if it's a J and okay, well, the loop is the same, or if it's an L and the length is the same, I mean, there's so many crazy things that they look at,
and
they're just watering it down to basically just let them go.
And that's unfortunate. Okay, we only have a couple minutes left, truly just 2 minutes.
If I could tell a quick story. This is our attorney, Mariah Gundaro.
Okay.
And she went into the courtroom, and she is a young, petite, young lady, and she walks into this room full of attorneys, all battle-hardened warriors, and these guys were smirking and smiling and yucking it up and having a great time, you know, looking at, look at that, you know, we're going to chew her up and spit her out. And as soon as, Mariah said to the judge, yes, we have 650 affidavits, Your Honor, and the room completely went stone cold sober.
Okay. So she set them back on their heels.
Yes, she did.
Good. God bless her.
She's
well, thank you, Mike and Patty, for coming in. We truly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And we are running out of time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.